Let's pray.
Father, I just come before you and I just thank you for this morning, Lord. Father, I thank you that you are enough. I pray, Father, that we just continue to worship in this time, Lord. I pray that we'd open up our hearts and minds just to hear whatever it is that you might want to speak to each one of us, Father. Just pray that we'd hear your words, and that's it. So just be with this time, Lord. Continue to build us into what you desire us to be. I just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. All right, well, good morning, everyone. In case you didn't catch it, Josh mentioned, my name is Bob Elster, for those of you that don't know me. And I've been here for about 4 years or so. I help out with the youth group, and so a little crazy in that way. But, you know, it all works out. I'm a big kid. Josh mentioned that only one, the cops were only called one time. I'm sorry, Josh. No, I'm just joking. I did it. But anyways, all right. So how many of you, out of curiosity, have heard of the show Survivor? I've watched it, maybe seen it, at least know what it is. Okay, much better than the first group. First group, there was like one person. No, I don't know. All right. Anyways, so for those that don't know, just in case there's a few people, just real quick, basically the premise of Survivor is they take a bunch of people that don't know each other, they throw them on an island, and it's basically kind of like acting like you're stranded, and you just get like rice, and then you have to like fish and try to make things work. There's no like showering or like all those kinds of things. And so it's a little crazy, and of course they pick the biggest personality, so everyone kind of goes, you know, it gets a little crazy. So my wife and I enjoy watching that show sometimes. And you also, so you're away from your loved ones, obviously. You have no contact with your loved ones. You can't talk to them, can't see them, all that kind of stuff. So that's obviously a hard part of it. And you see that with people a lot of times. And so usually about like halfway through, I think they're gone for like maybe 3 months or something away from their family, something like that. About halfway through, those that are still on the island, they have the opportunity to see their loved one, whoever that is. All right. So you might have like a husband and wife or whatever. And often what happens is, you know, they'll come running out, they'll give each other a big hug and a kiss and that kind of thing. And everyone's like, ah, and everyone's crying and all that sort of stuff. Whenever that moment happens at our house, my wife looks over at me and she says, you would never do that. You'd think that's disgusting. Because they haven't showered and all that type of stuff. So I think I'd be able to make it work, that kind of thing. But anyways, I don't know. Hopefully I would for her. She's still giving me a look like no. But anyways, the point is these people, they embrace each other, they love each other. Like none of that matters to them at that point in time, right? It just doesn't matter. So they just accept them, love them right where they're at in that. And my point here is I think that on a bigger scale, God does the same thing with us. Not just in terms of our physical, but right in terms of our spiritual, in terms of our brokenness, that God welcomes us and loves us. He tells us, come as you are. Okay, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, is this idea of coming as you are. So our text this morning is Matthew 11:28. And very simple message this morning. We're going to pretty much stick with that verse. A few examples, but in general. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So what we're going to do is we're going to break this into three different pieces. And we're going to start in the middle with basically who Jesus is talking to. So we're going to talk about first, you who are weary and burdened. Okay? And I don't know about you, but as I kind of walk around this world and get to know people, what I experience and what I see is that people are weary. People are burdened. People are struggling, and not just people, probably us to a degree as well, possibly, okay? There's a lot of people out there that are just struggling with life and just feel the burdens of life on their shoulders. You can think of, you know, people who maybe like, you know, high-level executives or own their own business, things like lots of stress, lots of pressure, right? To a point where some of them actually go and they like end their life or whatever because they're just feeling so much of a burden, so much pressure. Right, they don't show that up front a lot of times because people are always like, oh, well, how'd that happen? Right, but there's this burden that they carry. I think back to, and I just told a story recently in youth group, but I think back to when I was a social worker many, many years ago. I'm not still a social worker, but when I first was out of college. And I worked for a program called the Key Program, and it was in Worcester, and I was checking in with like kids who had just gotten out of jail, that sort of thing, making sure that they were doing what they're supposed to do, that sort of thing. And so this one kid, I was checking, it was like 10 o'clock at night, we're sitting out on his like stairs and stuff, and this is a kid, he's in a gang, very, you know, high affiliation in a gang, drugs, blah, 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 and we're sitting on the stairs, we're hanging out, and he's just sharing with me kind of what's going on in life, and we start to go a little deeper, and he starts to just bawl, just starts to break down and cry, okay, and this is this kid who on the outside, no one would probably has ever seen this, right, he's a gang kid, carries around a gun, selling drugs, all that kind of stuff, and he starts breaking down. What's happening is he is feeling weary. He is feeling burdened. Like, he doesn't want that life that he has. And when you get underneath it all, that's what he's feeling. There's just so much on his shoulders. Right? And he just couldn't take it anymore. Right? And he just let it out. Now, I'd like to say there's like a good ending to that story, but it's not. He ended up, a week later, ended up shooting someone and going back to jail. And so I apologize. But those burdens obviously weighed on him. Okay? And so that's a more extreme circumstance. But the reality is that you might be here and you might have some burden on you right now too. Maybe not to that extent. Maybe to that extent. I don't know. Right? You might be feeling a little weary. Because here's the thing about this weariness and burden that we're talking about. It's not just for non-Christians. It's for Christians as well. The one thing that's different is, as Christians, we do receive freedom from that. Right? But a lot of times, we don't always live in that freedom. Right? We kind of take it back. And say, okay, no, I got it. I'm good now, God. Right? And we start kind of laying it on ourselves again. So we experience it in the same way a lot of times. That burden, that weariness. But a lot of times we don't show it, right? So we don't necessarily know that. But we experience that burden. So what about you, right? How are you doing? Are you feeling weary? You feeling burdened in some aspect of your life? If you are, God wants to help you through that. The weariness that we're talking about here in this passage really has the sense of working really hard at something, and then like you're just exhausted after doing that work. For me, when I read this verse and I kind of understood that word a little bit more deeply, I thought about, so I just came out of a season where, so I have my own business. I do like business coaching, consulting, that sort of thing. But I also, I coach a lot of soccer. And so I coach the varsity team at our high school. And I enjoy it most of the time. So parents can be tough. But anyways, so I enjoy it most of the time. But the point is it is a very, very busy season because I'm trying to run my business. My wife and I know every time, because I've been doing it for a while now, we know, okay, here comes those 2 months. It's just like we get ready for it. But I'm like, by the end of the day, like I've done my work, then I go and I coach, and I'm just exhausted. I'm weary, right? Because I did all this work, and it was good, but it's just weary. Right? Now, that's on the kind of physical side. What we're really talking about this verse is that's like this, it's the spiritually feeling weary, right? Spiritually feeling weary. And the other thing that's key to understand about this weariness is it's put on by us trying to do it ourselves, right? So like I said, the word has a sense of going and doing work and working at something hard and then being tired. And that's what we do a lot of times in life. We try to do it ourselves, okay? God didn't design it that way. We need him. And so when we work at life and we try to fix things ourselves, we try to get everything going the way it's supposed to go, but we're just doing it, just us, we get weary. We get tired. We just spiritually can't handle that. We need him. This word burdened has the sense of basically loading things on a ship. Loading things on a ship. So you think of like a cargo ship, and they go and they put all these heavy containers on the ship and stuff, and that's a heavy load, right? And so it has this picture in my mind of what we do is we take the experiences that we have in life, we take the sin in our life, our brokenness, we take everything, and we just keep loading it on. We load it on, and it gets heavy. There's nowhere for it to go at that point in time. And that's a lot to try to carry ourselves. The thing to understand is that in the midst of our brokenness, our weakness, and the burden that we have, he tells us to come. Right there in the midst of it, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, he tells you to come. It's the next part that we're going to look at there, right? So it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Focus on the come to me now. And again, he doesn't, it's this idea of just coming. Just come. He doesn't say, hey, do all these other things and, you know, do A, B, C, then come to me. He just says, come to me. That's it. There's nothing else to it. There's no other steps. There's no hurdles. Nothing else. Just come to me. That's critical to understand. We'll understand more about, though, what it really means to come in a minute. But what I love here, too, is that he kind of reversed the order. A lot of times when we're talking to someone, we'll say, like, their name, or we'll say whoever we're talking to first, and then we say what we want them to do. In this verse, instead of saying, all you who are weary and burdened, come, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, kind of bringing attention to, this is what I want you to do. Come to me. Right? And I believe that's intentional. Focus, come to me. So again, the idea is to just come to him. There's no hurdles to go through, any of those types of things. Now, we're going to look at a few verses that I think kind of speak to this a little bit. And we're going to go through them relatively quickly because I have quite a few. And we're going to start in Luke 5, 1 through 11. This is with Simon Peter. So this is where Jesus is calling the disciples. So I think a great example of this, right? So I'm actually not going to read this text in particular. All right, but what we have is Jesus goes out, and there's Simon Peter, and he's out doing some fishing, right? And he basically, you know, tells them, oh, go, they're having a hard day fishing, haven't caught a lot. Just throw your nets out. They have this huge, you know, bunch of fish that come in. And then ultimately, Jesus says, come follow me, right? And so Simon Peter's like, all right, and he goes and follows him. But this is what didn't happen. Jesus didn't say, okay, hey, listen, you got to fill out this application. There's certain qualifications that I'm looking for you to be my disciple. And, you know, you have these areas of your life that you really got to work on first. And once you get all those things situated, then, hey, maybe we can talk and you can become one of my disciples. Or then you can come to me. It's not what happens. So he has this little interaction with him, and he says, come to me. He's like, all right. Packs up and he goes with him. Right? We go on. And we look at Levi and his calling there. That's in Luke 5, 27 through 31. That one's a little shorter, so I'll read that one for us. It says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So here again, you have this guy, Levi, right? And he's a tax collector. And back in those days, kind of tax collector and sinner were kind of synonymous, right? Maybe still today, I don't know, we won't get into that. But we get the idea, right? So they're known as like kind of a rough crowd, those kinds of things. And Jesus goes and he picks this guy out who we probably would not pick. And he says, all right, you know what? Come follow me. You're going to be one of my disciples. Again, he doesn't say, okay, well, you've done X, Y, and Z. You got to fix that stuff, then kind of come and be part. He says, no, come, follow me. And what does Levi do to make it even better? He says, yes, this is great. I'm going to have a big party at my house. I'm going to invite a bunch of other tax collectors and sinners, and we're going to like hang out together. And you're just like, yeah, that sounds great. Now, the Pharisees, they didn't like that, right? They're like, well, what are you doing hanging out with all these people that are, you know, sinners and this sort of thing? But Jesus was saying, this is perfect, right? Because what does he want to do? He wants to be able to say, come as you are to each and every one of them. He sees the opportunity. He understands and knows that people are broken, okay? It's critical for us to understand that. Next, the man with leprosy, Luke 5, 12 through 13. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Again, Jesus didn't say, hey, you know what? Go take care of this stuff. Get everything in order, and then maybe I'll consider responding. He didn't say that. Met him where he was at. We go on and we look at the prodigal son. A lot of you have heard that before. I'm not going to read that one. That one's longer. Prodigal son. So you have two brothers. They get their inheritance. One wants his inheritance early, runs off, spends that inheritance, partying, doing all sorts of things he shouldn't be doing. Lives kind of a crazy life, hits rock bottom, comes home, right? And when that happens, the father, as he sees him running off, comes, hugs him, welcomes him back, right? My son who was lost has returned. And he throws a party. It's like, yes. He says, come as you are. The brother's not happy about that, but that's another story we won't get into. Okay? come as you are. He doesn't say, and this is a great example, because think about this in real life. He doesn't say, okay, well, listen, you really, really messed up, right? I gave your inheritance. You went, you blew it all doing really bad things. So you know what? You got to kind of work your way back into my kind of good graces, if you will, right? You got to prove it. You got to prove something to me. Go make it right. Get a job. Do what you need to do. Then we'll invite you back in. It's not what happens, right? He embraces him. And he throws a party, welcomes him, come as you are. The Pharisee and the tax collector, Luke 18, 9 through 14. We're going to skip over that one. But we'll end with Luke 23, 39 through 43. This is the criminal on the cross, okay? Now, what I love about this is it just shows so much of just who God is, who Christ is, in that he's on the cross having suffered for us, and he's still thinking about others. Right? I don't know about you, but in the midst of that pain and suffering, I don't know if that's what I'd be thinking about, but that's what happens here. Right? Luke 23, 39 through 43 says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. I love that passage because, again, Jesus didn't say, okay, well, somehow you have to figure out how to get off this cross, right? And you got to, like, do some good things, and then I'm going to kind of welcome you into the kingdom. Then we're good, right? This is a man who clearly had done crime. He knew he had done crime. He knew he deserved the punishment that he was getting. He said that, okay? In the midst of that, in the midst of that brokenness and knowing that, Jesus says, come as you are. I know what you've done. I've seen what you've done, but come as you are. Come as you are. So awesome to think about that. So awesome that there's music behind it. And, no, I'm just joking. Whoever did that, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that to you. All right. But this idea is so important for us to embrace and understand. Okay? Come as you are. The key to all of it, and the key in all of these, is to understand what it means to come. Because some people might hear this, and they might think, well, Bob, like, I get it, but isn't it important, like, what they've done, like, the sin in their life or the brokenness? Like, doesn't, like, God care about that? Right? Like, and I get the question. And yes, does God want us to live a holy life? Does he want us to live a righteous life? Absolutely, he wants that. But we need to get the order correct. Because if I haven't come to him, if I haven't laid it at his feet, then I'm trying to do it on my own. And guess what? It doesn't work. So it doesn't matter. So when we're in the middle of our brokenness, no matter what we've done, how far we've gone, whatever, guess what? Jesus doesn't care. Because there's nothing too big. There's nothing too small. It doesn't matter. Come as you are. Then yes, may God want to work in your life. Yeah. But this idea of coming, right? It's really, ultimately, all about surrender. It's about surrendering ourselves to him, right? It's not just coming, like, okay, God, it'd be cool if you do some stuff. No, it's coming. You notice, if you go back and look at the text at some point in time, you notice in pretty much every single one of those, each person acknowledges their need for Christ in that moment. Because there are scriptures, you might be thinking of them, where Jesus does say, hey, go do this first. But here's the deal. Do you think God really cares, or Jesus really cares in that moment about, oh, give me half of your wealth, or give away half of your wealth? Do you think Jesus really cares about that specifically? No. He knows that person's heart. He knows that that person's not sincere as they come to him, and that that's getting in the way of truly surrendering over to him. And that's the point. But Jesus definitely and clearly in Scripture just wants us to come. Lay it at his feet. Surrender it over to him. Romans 12, 1 and 2 kind of gives the full picture of this a little bit. So I'm going to go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers, I don't have this up here, I apologize. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The point here is this. In this passage, right, we're to give ourselves, to offer ourselves, right? It says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And that word in their bodies, it's everything that you are. Offer all that you are to God. Then we read on, and there's a transformation that happens. But first, we come to him. First, we surrender to him. Then life starts to change, right? Because then we have him to give us the strength and the wisdom to do and live the way he's calling us to live. So it's not that it's not important how we live. It's very important how we live. But we need to come and surrender to him first to have his power and his strength to live that out. So again, this idea of coming is the idea of just completely surrendering everything over to him. I think of a time in my life that I think really depicts this for me, and where I feel like this whole kind of cycle experience. So for me, a little bit towards the end of college, so ironically not towards the beginning of college, when most people probably start to struggle a little bit, but mine was towards the end of college. I kind of walked away from God a little bit at that point in time, and nothing like crazy, but stopped kind of going to church and just kind of went through some stuff and made some choices I shouldn't have made, that kind of stuff. And basically what I was doing in that time is I was saying, you know what, God, I'm good. I got it. I can make my life what it needs to be. I'm good. I didn't literally say that. That's what I was doing. Right? So I started doing that. I started, you know, doing things maybe I hadn't done before and making some choices. And what's happened is, what's interesting is life kind of just got a little bit worse. Okay? And I don't mean just life around me. I mean, there was impact on the choices that I was making on my life. Not only that, but I started to feel like just not right in here. All right? Now, I knew at the time, I knew that was God, but I chose to ignore it for a period of time, right? And just said, you know what? No, I'm good. I got it. And just kept going for a little while. And those burdens, they kept piling up because I was choosing to take that back. I was choosing to say, I got it. And so the burdens just got heavier and heavier and heavier. And I got more and more weary. And so it got to a point for me where I feel like I kind of hit rock bottom. I finally was just, there was so much weight on my shoulders, life just kind of broken, and I just was like, you know what? I can't handle it anymore. And I came to Christ. I surrendered. I said, God, I can't do it on my own. I tried, I screwed up, and I acknowledged my need for him, and I surrendered it all to him at that moment. And it's not like all of a sudden I did that and the sun came out and I was skipping through a field and there's butterflies and, you know, life was perfect. That would actually be a sight to see, right? But anyways, that's way too big of a laugh for that, but no, I'm sure. Anyways, so that's not what happened, right? Life was still kind of tough because I still kind of needed to work on some things. But what I can tell you is that I had rest. I felt that rest deep in my heart. I felt that peace deep in my heart. That peace that passes all understanding, right? That rest that he offers, that weight was gone. And it was amazing. Surrender, the weight was just gone. That's what God offers to us. We just have to be willing to come. Lay it at his feet, surrender, and he'll remove that weight. He'll remove that burden. And the thing to understand for each of you here is no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, how dark it is or deep it is or whatever, it doesn't matter. There's nothing God can't handle. And he knows. He already knows. So whether you've, you know, just gone a little deep and dark or you've gone big, guess what? It doesn't matter. God says, come. Jesus says, come as you are. And for some of you, maybe that's what you need to hear today. Because again, As Christians, again, we have that freedom in that, but again, we tend to take it back even day by day sometimes in certain areas, right? So some of you, maybe some of you are in a really tough spot and you're like, you know what? Yeah, you can relate to my story and maybe you're in the middle of it and you're saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, I got to do that. I got to just surrender it. Some of you, maybe it's just more of a daily thing. You realize, hey, I'm taking back some things. Yeah, you know what? I just need to lay that at his feet. I need to surrender. Then that's your challenge for today. To do that, come to him. Lay it at his feet. Now, the other side of it, for those that maybe feel like, yeah, okay, you know, I've done that. I feel pretty light. I feel that kind of that peace, that rest that God offers, is are you willing to offer that same thing to others? Right, because I think that, and almost always in many lessons, there's our application to our own selves, but then there's how are we now going to live that out with others? Because I believe we're called to be Christ-like, right? So as Jesus says, come to me, we need to now invite others and say, hey, Jesus is inviting you to come too, right? And that means with anyone, right? So will you say, come as you are, to anyone and everyone that you encounter? No matter what they've done, no matter where they are, no matter what they're living in that moment, will you say that? Because sometimes we get that wrong. Sometimes we say, well, I don't know, that person, they're a little too messed up. I don't know, I think we got to wait a little bit. No. God wants to meet them right there. And who are we to do that? And we all kind of have our different areas where we struggle or don't struggle with that with people. People, relationships are kind of a weird thing, right? We all have kind of our little pet peeves or different things that we struggle with people. You know, I'm like one of these people where, for me, like having worked, again, in social work and stuff like that, I can look past like a lot of really awful things, like, you know, shooting and drugs and all that. Like I can just look past the stuff for every reason. It doesn't, like, no problem, right? But, you know, you chew with your, you know, mouth open or something like that. We're not friends anymore, right? No, I'm just joking. I'm joking, by the way. If anyone does that, we're okay. But you get it. The point is we all kind of have our stuff, right? That kind of whatever. And my point is it's our issue, not theirs. That's my point, okay? And we need to be honest with ourselves about that. Because, listen, we all have it. I'm not saying there's no one here that I'm sure perfectly loves everyone equally all the time, okay? But we all have our stuff. And what we need to do is we just need to recognize that and say, yeah, you know what? That's my own thing. It's just I got to get over that. God, you know, help me to be able to love those people that are hard for me to love. And, yes, I still need to love the ones that are easy for me to love. But the thing is we need to invite everyone. Say, come as you are, right? As individual relationships, as a church, come as you are. We actually, at one point in time, when I was pastoring, I don't know if I mentioned that I pastored for about 12 years, and we actually, at one point in time, changed our tagline to that, come as you are, because we really wanted people to understand that it's not about, you don't go and clean yourself up first, and then you go to church and you get to know God, right? You come as you are, and then you let God do the work, because he's the one that does the work, not you. Right? And that's what's key in that. So again, we need to bring that message out to others if we ourselves have received it. So Jillian's going to come, and she's going to play the song, Come As You Are. And this is a song from Crowder. Some of you have maybe heard of Crowder. I don't know. And I'm just going to encourage you during this time to really think and pray about where you're at. Some of you may be in a position where maybe you've never really received that rest that God offers. You've never been in that place where you've come to him to take those burdens off. I encourage you, think and pray about that. And if that's something that's on your mind and heart, make sure you talk to someone here, a staff member, someone I'm sure would be willing to talk to you about that. Others of you might be in a place where just you are feeling that burden, right? And you just need to lay that at his feet. Lay it at his feet. We're going to be taking communion here. And so I think with taking communion, what a great time to come as you are, right? Communion's all about ultimately celebrating what Christ has done on the cross for us, right? I mean, giving up his life, we have his body, his blood, and sacrificing for us. So what a great time to surrender. And again, if you're in a place where you haven't done that yet, no worries. We're not like taking notes and keeping track, right? Just hang out in your seat, think and pray about what God might want to do in your life, and then talk to someone after. For everyone else, I'm going to invite you to come and partake. And again, I would just encourage you as you do that, check yourself. right? Do I need to come to him? Do I need to come and lay something at his feet and surrender that to him as we celebrate what he's done for us? And then also pray about how can I then take and experience this and then go invite others to do the same. All right, let me pray for us and then I'll invite you to take. Father, I just come before you, and again, I just thank you for everyone who's here. Father, we thank you just for loving us right where we are. Father, we thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. Even in the midst of knowing how broken we are. Father, I pray, Lord, that as we come and take communion and we celebrate what you've done for us, I pray, Lord, just that we'd be real about any brokenness, about any burden that we might have, and we might just lay it at your feet, Father. And I pray that as that happens, that we would experience you and that there would be transformation in our life, Lord, that you would give us that rest, that peace, and that you might continue to build us into what you desire us to be. I just ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. Come as you're ready to partake in communion.